morning. Welcome to Oscar Sunday at Hollywood United Methodist Church. We are glad for all of you who are here and braved the traffic, who are here in person, and for all of you joining us online this morning. Please stand as you are able for opening hymns.
Asking the children to come forward now for a little children's moment. All right. My name is Miss April. I'm the children's coordinator here at Hollywood United Methodist Church. So let me ask you all a question. What church holiday is coming up? Annalie, do you know? Oh, do you know?
Easter.
Yes. Okay. So we're in a time right now preparing for Easter, and it's called Lent. So let me ask you something, Olivia, Maya. When you get to a sidewalk and you're about to cross the street, what do we have to do? Do you know? What do you do when you get to a sidewalk? Do you just walk across the street or do you have to wait?
You have to wait.
What do you have to do?
Wait for cars.
Wait for cars.
Can you show me what you do? Stand up. Let's all stand up. Show me what you do. Okay, so we're at the sidewalk.
I'm gonna pretend this every.
Okay, that's great. So what do? We stop, and then what do?
We walk across the street when there's a stop sign for the car.
When there's a stop sign for the cars. Okay, do you have to look at all? Annalie, do you have to look at all?
No. We have to look.
You have to look, and you also have to, what else do you look for when?
The traffic light.
Yeah, the traffic light. So we have to stop. So show me stop. And then we have to look. So look to your right. Look to your left. And the other thing is, sometimes we can't see cars. What do? We have to, what do we do with our ears? Yeah, we have to listen. Oh my goodness, you all are good helpers. Have a seat. All right, so, Annalie's still driving. So we have to stop, we have to look, and we have to listen. So here is my challenge to you. You ready, Annalie?
Yep.
All right. So before Easter, this is a time for us to stop. Freeze. Okay, look at everything around you. So look at everything around the church, all the people around you. And then here's what I want you to do. Look over at me now. Woo, first full circle. There we go. I want you to look and see all the things that God created that are all around you. What are those? Some of those things we see in nature that God created that are all around us?
I know who created the traffic light.
Who?
I don't remember that.
You know who did it, but you don't remember? Yeah.
God.
Great answer. What if we had rain this week, didn't we? And in our neighborhood, we had hail. So we look, there's different signs of God at work all around us in nature, and then listen. All right, so that is our challenge of what we're doing during Lent as we wait for a few weeks for Easter, along with doing interpretive dance. All right, so let's say a quick prayer, and then we're gonna go do our fun activity, okay? You ready? Yes. All right, let's bow our heads, please. Dearest Lord, thank you that you've given us this time of Lent for us to stop, for us to look and listen. Look around us for the signs that you are with us and guiding us, and listen for the beautiful voices, the sounds of nature that guide us closer to you, and as we celebrate your resurrection at Easter. And all God's children said,
amen.
Amen. All right. And as we go off to our children's moment, oh, applause. Oh, take a bow. There you go. And as we go off to children's moments, I ask that you all stand and give the sign of peace as you're comfortable, and also giving the sign of peace to those joining us virtually. All right.
Friends, won't you join me in throwing some peace to our friends watching in the balcony and from home? We miss you. Peace be with you. I invite you to find your seats. If you've not had a chance yet to greet a friend, you'll have lots of time at our wonderful coffee hour afterwards. On this busy day of big industry moments and traffic, and all kinds of stuff, we take a minute to take a breath, to center ourselves, and to stop, look, and listen for the voice of God in our life, and invite God into conversation during a time of prayer, opened by our chancel choir. Thank you. God, we are gathered here today in your house. Some of us braved traffic and other things that made it hard to get here. We've come to listen, to open ourselves for your presence, to feel you move in our lives, to hear a word of hope, and to be with those that we call family. We thank you for this place that is a part of every day, but also set apart for your worship, for your acknowledgement. A safe place for all who choose to gather. Help us to open the doors of our church wide to all who are seeking your love, all who wish to be acknowledged that they too are children of God. Open our hearts and our hands and help us to do the work of building this beloved community. This morning we lift up our siblings in Hollywood who are anxious and excited about today's events, that their work will be recognized and honored at the Oscar. We are grateful for the contribution of artists to our community, both those who will be recognized and those who are working behind the scene, those who are working in small business and small indie projects to tell the story of who we are as a people. We know that art and beauty comes from you, and we are grateful for folks' efforts. This morning, we pray for peace in our city and in our community. We pray that our neighbors have all that they need. We invite you to give us guidance and wisdom and strength to our political leaders and ourselves to think constructively and creatively about how we address our housing crisis and create shelter and opportunity for our unhoused neighbors. This morning we pray for peace and the end of war in Israel and Palestine. We pray for the return of hostages who are still being held, and we mourn and weep at the massive loss of life in both places. We hear the voices of our protesters right outside the doors of our church, and we acknowledge the anguish and the anger that they carry. We pray for resolution and a new tomorrow where all are safe in your world, in the Holy Land and beyond. Help us to confront the sins that divide us, that contribute to hate. God, we confess to you that we have sometimes been slow to speak. We have sometimes not been able to find the words, but we know that you call us to love. And so we speak out against anti-Semitism and all kinds of hate that divide your people. Make us emissaries of your peace and builders of your beloved community where all can come home. This morning, we ask you to bring healing to Trad's great niece, 7-month-old Georgia, to be with Michelle, to be with Susan's family and friends and offer them solace and consolation as we still mourn her absence. We pray for Rick and Linda for healing and for a path forward. Please bring healing to Robert's mother and discernment and peace to Sebastian during these changing times of life. There are so many poor prayers that linger on our hearts and minds, and now we open ourselves to you in a moment of silent prayer. God, you invited us to follow you through the life and ministry of your son, Jesus. And he asked us, not only would we follow, but when we follow, would we be able to bear the cup? Help us to find our way into your ministry, even in those moments when it's difficult, when doing the work of love is hard. Guide us and remind us that he is always with us, that he has provided us with the acknowledgement and the truth that this life is only one, that eternal life is waiting, and that he has never left us. We offer to you the prayer that he taught us, shared by millions of Christians around the world this morning. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Happy Sunday morning, church family. Hey, what? Happy Sunday! Hey, it's great to see all of you. Man, you all got through all the deterrents. You know what? You all should win an award. But unfortunately, we only have cookies in the courtyard afterwards, so join us there. Thank you for being here, though, today. I know it's, even for me, it took a half an hour to get down Island. So a lot of fun in traffic. Let's check in real quick. If you can, get out your phone, scan that. Even if you're online, because I know a lot of people are watching online, as long as you're not watching on your phone, you can scan this. Check in. Let us know you're here watching today. And also, if you have any prayer requests, please put those in there. We get those every week, and we pray for them. So please share those with us if you have any. As we heard, Easter's coming, so Easter lilies are back. So if you'd like to order your Easter lily, you can scan that QR code there. They're $10. We have them up on Sunday for the 9 and 11 o'clock service, and then after the 11 o'clock service, you can take them home. But if you need a paper, because some people don't like to use the QR codes, there is some on the Narthex welcome table. You can fill out those and give it to one of the ushers. We'll order those Easter lilies for you. Also, the Lent devotionals, just in case you don't know, we've been posting those on all of our social media. It's also on the website. So please, if you would, those are every day posted by some of our congregational members and also church staff. Just some thinking is, normally there's a verse and then you write a little devotional based on it. And some great stories, some poems. One time we got music. Please share those with your family. Today we have our adult Sunday study. It's still happening. We're going to have that in the chapel at 12:15, and that is Rev Ed and Tim Payne's class, so please join if you're able. And then this week a couple things are happening. Monday the 11th, if you're a part of the book club with the United Women in Faith, their meeting is at 6 p.m. It's on Zoom. So I know there's a Zoom link. We have it actually on the welcome tables that you can write down. If not, we can have you, if you email them. Is the email up there? Yes, it is. uwffaith@hollywoodumc.org. They'll get that Zoom link for you. This Tuesday, we are going to see Dune at the Grove in IMAX. So if you're interested in being a part of that, it's at 7 o'clock. And you just email me. We can coordinate together. And in 2 weeks already, Palm Sunday is coming up, and we're going to have our big Easter egg hunt for the kids. So please, if you will, join in on that. Invite family and friends. We're going to have a great time out in the green space. And I've heard the Easter Bunny will be in attendance, so there'll be some great picture opportunities for the family. Lastly, we have blessing bags in the Narthex. So on the way out, if you feel free to grab a couple of those if you come across people in need. There's also some very warm, they're actually, what do we call them, emergency blankets that you can hand out. Those help when it's cold as well as when it's raining. So please grab a few of those and give those out as needed. I'll be in the courtyard today to answer any questions if you have any, and I'll see you out there. All that we do here is made possible by you. Through your prayers, your presence, your service, and your gifts. So as the ushers come forward and we put up the QR code for online giving, please give as you're able so we can continue to grow this ministry here in the heart of Hollywood. Thank you so much.
Reading from the book of Mark. They were on the road going to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. They were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. He took the 12 aside and began to tell them what was to happen to him, saying, "See, we are going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priest and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. And then they will hand him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him and spit upon him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise again." James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those who, for whom it has been prepared. When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give us his life a ransom for many." Words of God, words of life. Thanks be to God.
This morning we continue our Lenten sermon series, Good News, finding stories of good news from the Gospel of Mark. Today's good news focuses on what is true greatness. But first, a moment of irony. When I laid out the scriptures and the themes for this series, I didn't check the calendar. So I find it very ironic that we're talking about true greatness on Oscar Sunday. Go figure. In our gospel lesson for today, it's clear that the disciples have been thinking among themselves about who is the greatest. Earlier in chapter 9 of the Gospel of Mark, three of them, Peter, James, and John, had been with Jesus up on the mountaintop where he had spoken with Moses and Elijah. Jesus had been transfigured and his face had shone like never before. The guys were astounded and they couldn't wait to get back to town to tell the others, even though that wasn't part of the plan. On the way down the mountain back to Capernaum, we can just see Jesus walking alone, thinking and reflecting on his experiences and what lay ahead of him. To the side or perhaps behind him were some of the disciples, arguing as they were wont to do. When they got to their destination, even though he already knew the answer, Jesus asked some of them, "What's going on? What were you arguing about on the way?" Well, they were busted. They were just a little bit more than embarrassed at being caught. They didn't want to share that they were arguing with each other over who was the greatest, but Jesus knew. Then Jesus sat down and tried again to get through to all of his disciples. "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." And you can just tell that their eyes started to glaze over because they've heard these opposites before. To save life, you have to lose life. To be first, you have to be last. To be great, a servant. Jesus was just always talking this way, especially in the Gospel of Mark. But notice that Jesus does not say servant to all, but servant of all. That means that the disciples are called to be servant leaders, regardless of what other people seek to be. To be a servant leader means we look beyond our own self-interests, to live humbly, to put the needs of others first in ways both big and small. To be a servant leader, it means no job is too menial if it helps bring forth the kingdom, the beloved community, into being. Now, that was the second time that Jesus had told about his impending death and commends humble and sacrificial living, and the disciples had argued over rank and power and position. Now, in the passage right before this one, we learn that Jesus and the disciples were on their way to Jerusalem from Galilee. And in what we just heard Rance read, as they traveled, Jesus is telling them for the third time in great detail what's going to happen when they get to Jerusalem. He's going to be mocked, spat upon, scourged, and killed. And after 3 days, he would rise again. And how did the Zebedee brothers respond? "Jesus, we want a favor from you. We want you to give us what we ask for, and we are asking for the seats of honor, one on your right and one on your left." Now, that kind of jockeying for positions of power were commonplace in the ancient world. But the problem is, they weren't listening to Jesus predicting his death. They not only missed the central teaching of Jesus, They were totally unaware of the nature of the kingdom, that it wasn't going to be a physical kingdom like they were anticipating. But Jesus, who was unwilling to stoop to intimidate or humiliate others in the presence of their friends, he didn't rebuke them, but he asked them a simple question to try and force their thoughts. Jesus says, "Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" They still didn't get it. Without hesitation, though, they responded, "We can." Well, Jesus knew they didn't get it, so he pressed his teaching about the nature of the kingdom, concluding, "Whoever will be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be servant of all." Now, if James and John had really understood the question, they would have responded quite differently. But they were clearly more concerned for their own future than they were for Jesus. Now, to their credit, when Jesus questions them, they bravely responded with a, "Yes, we're able." Again, Jesus didn't argue with them or question their motives. He simply told them that it wasn't up to him who will sit where in glory. You see, for Jesus, success did not look like sitting on a throne. Success did not mean lording it over other people who were lower on the social or the economic ladder. It did not mean acting like a master or a ruler. Instead, for Jesus, success looked like serving. It looked like being the last in line instead of the first. It looked like truly serving others. But far from rebuking his disciples' dreams of success, Jesus took success and redefined it and turned it on its head. Glory was not to be found in sitting enthroned next to Jesus, but rather serving alongside of Jesus. To be a servant leader is to be humble, just as the prophet Micah in the 7th century BC told God's people, "What does the Lord require of you? To do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." The great author C.S. Lewis, in his signature book, Mere Christianity, put it this way: true humility is not thinking less of yourself. True humility is thinking of yourself less. Jesus gives the disciples and gives us the definition of true greatness. Greatness is not found in who you know. Greatness does not come from assuming positions of power or authority. Greatness does not come from the collection of one's accomplishments. Greatness does not come from an inflated sense of self. Benjamin Franklin made a list of character qualities that he wanted to develop in his own life. When he mastered one virtue, that he went on to the next one, and he did pretty well, he said, until he got to humility. Every time he thought he was making significant progress, he would be so pleased with himself that he would become proud and need to start all over again. True greatness comes when we choose to live humbly, when we welcome and fully embrace the least and the lost, especially those on the margins, those who are unhoused or unloved or the object of hate and prejudice. Sadly, as I wrote in my From the Pastor on Friday, I have an example of a hateful act that comes metaphorically from inside the house. Some of you may have seen a news report, actually one of two because there was another last night, on an anti-Semitic act by one of our retired United Methodist clergy here in the Los Angeles area. And he is someone known to us at Hollywood. In response, our Bishop Dottie Escobedo Frank has issued a statement that reads in part, "The conference has begun a formal complaint process, and this clergy has been brought under our supervisory process for accountability. I am fully aware that these actions caused anger, sadness, uncertainty, and fear, and brings me deep sorrow. The impact is felt across our region. The actions shown on video are not representative of our work and our commitment to interfaith community building, and I reaffirm that we unequivocally denounce anti-Semitism and discrimination of any form. As we do our work of the supervisory process, I remind us all that acts of hate and racism should not be part of our response, particularly to Jewish communities and Japanese communities. I pray for healing for all those impacted and call us to live in life-giving support for one another. We remain committed to stand with and be in service to all our neighbors. Please pray for us, for all who are in pain. One of the sad realities we face is that too many people already saw modern-day Christianity as one monolithic conservative entity that they want no part of. And now we, Hollywood and Harmony, proudly progressive, inclusive, welcoming congregations, are being painted with the brush of anti-Semitism. Our social media at both campuses have been trolled immeasurably over the past 7 days. And our communications folk, Devin here and Jace at Harmony, have been busy taking down extremely offensive posts. So what can we do? We can pray for all of those who have been affected, including the clergy who is being charged. We can continue to be the community of faith that stands against hate of all kinds and welcomes everyone without exception. We can share who we are with our words and our actions of love, justice, and service. We can stand against all forms of evil, no matter what forms they present themselves. But most of all, we can show who we are by serving one another. Whether it's participating in our Project Angel Food visits or distributing blessing bags, joining the United Women in Faith in their work at Alexandria House, or writing a letter to your elected official demanding more affordable housing for our unhoused neighbors. Those are ways we follow Jesus in servanthood as we journey together towards Jerusalem. The great author Madeleine Lingle once wrote that humility is throwing oneself away in complete concentration on something or someone else. So family, let us concentrate on serving one another. Let us make our neighbor's well-being as or even more important than our own. Let us not worry about who among us is the greatest or even the greatest of last year's as we watch the Oscars this afternoon. Instead, let us concentrate on true greatness, which is found in doing justice, loving mercy, and walking humbly with our God. Amen.
Thank you.
want to thank Thompson Howell for being our guest organist this morning. We're so glad to have him back with us. Following the postlude, if you would like to receive communion, please make your way to the first couple of rows here, and Pastor Brady will offer communion to you. You don't have to be a member of this church or any church. You simply have to have the desire to receive. So go now, embodying true greatness in your life, serving others as Christ would serve us. Go in peace to love and serve the world. Amen.
If you would like to receive communion, I invite you to come and join.